This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line on WGNS. This morning on the program, we're going to continue our conversation about the juvenile situation here in Rutherford County. Juvenile Court Judge Donna Scott Davenport is with us this morning, and we're going to continue to focus on Operation Integrity. We have some school resource officers with us, Sergeant Patty Hillis, who teaches the parent component, and Sergeant Irvin Turner, who oversees the student portion, and they're here with Judge Donna Scott Davenport. Good morning to all of you today.
Good morning, Bart.
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have all of you here.
Good morning.
Donna, tell us a little about what's happening at the Judicial Center, the Juvenile County, the Juvenile Services Center.
Well, every day is a different day and different sets of good stories and sad stories, but we will take, I had a student yesterday show me her diploma.
Oh, fantastic. Ooh,
yeah, because we never thought we'd see that, so I was very proud of her. Plus, she's already got a job.
That's
great. Because she's got her diploma. So we're happy about that. I'm glad to start with a good note on that. I had a lot of better news than sad news yesterday for my Monday. So that's what it's all about. Absolutely.
You know, in watching you, you act like a proud parent.
Well, I've been called the mother of the county. So.
That
but
is
I am.
Good to
I'm
see.
Very proud of them because that's my job is to push them and shove them and fuss at them to know what's important and shape and help shape their lives and have them a future. That's my responsibility.
I have a feeling that as we get to know Sergeant Hillis and Sergeant Turner, we're going to have that same feeling from them.
Absolutely.
That they are proud.
That's why this program works. Absolutely.
Let's start by getting some of your thoughts on this. Either one of you, whoever wants to jump in first, what do you see this as accomplishing in our county? The program that you're the Operation Integrity.
Well, the biggest thing that what we're trying to do is change the mindset of some of our younger kids. This program is basically set up to teach these kids to reteach them respect. You know, a lot of these are pretty good kids as it is, and what we're trying to do is to get them back on that straight line. You know, that they veered away from. We've had a lot of success with the program. And I haven't seen a program that does it the way we do with the success rate that we've had so far.
And what about you? What? Because you're teaching a different a component of the program.
The other side of our operation is the parent component, where other programs don't do that. We do. And that's a good thing about the program is it's an outreach for the parents. They have some place that they can turn to get some help with their kids because they're at the point they're like, I don't know what to do. Things are really haywire, and this is a program that they can turn to.
And Judge Davenport, do the parents have to participate?
They do. That's a requirement for the program, and I believe they participate 4 hours, where the children participate 12 hours. Is that right, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
And so they do the first 4 hours, I believe, mm-hmm. in the morning. So they have to because it's a family issue. You can't just point a finger to the parent or to the child or other people in the home. It's a family issue, and that's the approach that we try to take is encompass the whole family and embrace them and give them the tools that they need so that they can work through their difficulties.
Sergeant Turner, you brought up a word that people have used many times as being lacking in today's youth, and that's respect.
Yes, sir.
Is that difficult to show them the importance of respecting others?
Well, the beginner of the camp, it's a little bit difficult because they have various reasons why they don't want to be there. It's not such a nice place at that point. But as we go through the day, we start our team building exercises and things of that nature, then they start to understand how that respect is going to play a big part in their success and the success of the family.
Okay. And let me ask that same question of Sergeant Hillis, because I'm wondering, because these are not old people that you're working with. These people have just gotten out of the teenage years in many cases, and some probably still there.
Do they have all respect? Ages, actually, because, you know, this day and time, there's a lot of grandparents that are raising their grandchildren.
I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah, I see a lot of those. But as Judge Davenport said, what this program does is just give the parents tools to help them with their parenting skills. And it goes back and kind of reminds them of things they have used in the past but have been tucked away, because now everybody's butting heads. And there's no talking, there's no communicating. All it is fighting. And so the program that we use is a great program. It's called the Parent to Parent Program by Bill Oliver. And I've had the opportunity to meet his family. And they are wonderful people. And this man speaks from experience. So that's one of the reasons why I think the program works so well is, you know, this is not something that was just made up. This man is speaking from experience, that something that happened in his own family.
Now, Judge Davenport, you see both sides of this coming together. You see them in the courtroom where there is a lot of anger before they've gone through Operation Integrity. Tell us what you're seeing there and then what you see after they go through the
program. A lot of our children will either be first-time offenders that maybe go on the program, so they've got to come back and get their record expunged if they've qualified for that, or they're on probation and we may need a review for some reason, first level of probation. And what we see is brightness in both eyes, of that of the child and of the parent. And I don't think I've ever had a parent or child that didn't say, thank you, this program works. And we've had a few that trickle back down and get back into a bad decision-making error in their life, but the majority do not re-offend. And if they do, then the parents are able to refresh what they've learned and maybe pick it up, and then we move on and it's successful. So that's what we do see. And again, that's our job, as we're mandated by statute in juvenile court, is to change and modify that bad behavior and make it good and make everybody getting along. And that's why we love this program so much.
Now, after they go through the program, it was mentioned just a little bit earlier by Sergeant Turner about the word respect. Do you see that happening in the classroom as well, in addition to being worked out with the parents?
Yes, sir. That's a big part of the team building. As we relate as we go through the day and we relate what we do and the tasks that we accomplish during the day, as we relate that to the families, we also relate it to schools, we relate it to authority figures, which would be your teachers, your principals, your guidance counselors. So we do see that trickle into the school also.
So you're really helping the total child or student, whatever we choose to, but they are children.
They're still children, absolutely.
We need to not lose fact of that. And you're teaching them not only how to be children who can work along with other children, but you're preparing them for society as an adult.
That's the key. That is our job, is that they turn 18, they go out in our society, in our community here in Rutherford County, and they're productive. And that's what we want for each one of them.
Let me ask Sergeant Hillis and Sergeant Turner this. Have both of you been in the program for a while? And the reason I ask that, I wanted to get your response on some of the things that some of the students who've come back to you after a few years, and they're beyond 18, they have gotten out into life. What do they say to you when they see you?
They still thank us. They thank us for the program and how it's changed their lives and how it got them to where they're at right now today. I've been with the program ever since it started.
Okay, I started with the program in 2007. More so than the children, I see the parents come back a lot. I can be in a grocery store or at a restaurant, and I have a parent walk up to me and say thank you. I get phone calls still from parents to say thank you. I had three kids graduate this past year that went through the program during their freshman and sophomore years, and they graduated this year. And as I'm walking through the Murphy Center after graduation, I'm getting hugs by some parents there that are saying thank you for what you done for my child.
Boy, that's what makes it worthwhile. And do you hear from the teachers who may have just been at wit's end? They couldn't, have control of the class because there were a few kids who just were creating problems. Do the teachers say things to you?
Oh, absolutely. And part of the program is that we have a follow-up program. And we stay with these kids for about 6 months. So from the time they enter the program, we monitor them in school. The school that they're at, their SRO, monitors them for the next 6 months until they go back for their hearing.
That, Judge Davenport, that must make you feel so proud.
It is, and that's why this program has been long-lasting and is effective, mm-hmm. because we are seeing the positive results. And it's not with just the children. We're seeing it when my parents come in and they're at wit's end, or some of them think that they have no buy-in as to why we have behavior issues. And the light bulb does come on, and they go, oh, yeah, I could do this. I should be doing this. And everybody has to admit some type of contribution to the problem. And that's one thing that this program does without really criticizing and coming down on the parent. It's building everybody up. And that's what's important with our children. I see no hope in a lot of our children. And we want to build them up. We want them to be wonderful. We want them to be successful, and we've got to have faith in them, and we've got to have hope in them. Even if they disappoint us the first time, there's got to be the next time or the next child. You can't give up on them. And that's one of the things that this program does, is instills it in the entire family. And the parents usually, Sergeant Hillis could address this, are they sometimes apprehensive starting, but then they come along? Because they don't like it, especially if I order it. Now, if I order it and they don't follow through, there's a possibility of an arrest. And a lot of times it's not ordered, and the parents are buy into it before then. But maybe you could address, because I know that is a factor that we have.
Yeah, and that is something that I've started seeing since mm-hmm. Judge Davenport ordering the parents to come. They were a little bit hesitant at first, but, you know, the way I started out in the mornings is, as I'm talking with them and kind of speaking from my own experience, because I have two older children, and talk about my experience, and then we just kind of go around the room and talk with each one while they're there. And so then they find out they're not the only ones that are there. They're not the only ones that are having problems. And that's the way I felt, you know, back when I was raising my kids. I thought, I'm the only one that's having these problems. But come to find out, I'm not. And then once that starts happening, of course, the tears start flowing. And then everything starts calming down, and then I talk about the program. And then just in the first video, Bill Oliver talks, and when he talks, you listen to every word that he says, and he has a little humor in there. But I advise them to write down as many notes as possible so they can refer back to them. And by the time that first video is over, we talk a little bit about what we just saw and what they're thinking, and everything is fine after that. They are nothing but attentive.
So they really become sort of a focus group where they all discover, hey, we're not the only ones.
Right. Exactly.
That has to be so powerful.
It is very powerful. Like I said, speaking from experience, for me, when I saw that I was not the only person in the world that was having the problems with my children, because I thought I was doing everything I knew to do, but then finding out that I'm not the only one, and there is a program out there that I could reach out to that would help me, is tremendous.
Now, you mentioned that you stay with the students for a period of time after this.
Right.
Do the parents have an opportunity to also stay together and exchange ideas?
Yes.
And
we
observations?
We communicate with the parents also.
I mean, do the parents get to talk with each other and communicate?
Yes.
On a regular basis?
Yes. Well, we do two follow-up sessions on Tuesday nights. Mm-hmm. We'll come back. The way I do it is I want to hear from the parents. How was your weekend? How did the kids act? Were there any problems? If there was any problems, then I address the issues. I'll go downstairs where the juveniles are, and I'll address the issues with the juveniles myself sometimes. Or I'll turn it over to Sergeant Turner or whoever's downstairs. Mm-hmm. But the parents do have that opportunity the next two Tuesdays after that. But then the SRO stays in communication with the parents and the children for those 6 months.
Let's talk a little bit more with Sergeant Turner. We've heard what happens with the parents. Let's go with you through an average few days, few weeks. of the follow-ups with the students and see what's, you know, how do you do that? What do you do with the youngsters?
Well, with the follow-ups, after the camp is over with on that Saturday, of course, like Sergeant Hill said, they'll come in that Tuesday with the parents the following two Tuesdays. During that first week afterwards, each SRO will make contact with that student. Our coordinator, Sergeant Bobby Weeks, will put out a list of the students that came through the camp that weekend. And each SRO will make contact with that student. He'll let him know that he is aware that he's going through the camp. And then he will contact that parent also and let that parent know that he is also now a resource for that parent to turn to if there are any other issues. He also will contact the teachers. The administrators a lot of times understand and know that that child has come through the boot camp. And the administrator and teachers will also reach out to that officer if there's a problem with the student. So from that point on, every week, that officer will have a meeting with that student or some type of contact with them, whether it be in a one-on-one setting, whether it be in the hallway, or just kind of a passing by, just kind of checking in on the student. If there are any problems, then it will be addressed with that officer one-on-one. If there are no problems, he will continue to let the child go ahead and do what they've been doing and hopefully move on to success in the school.
And Judge Davenport, do you also have a follow-up period with the parents and the students that continues?
It depends on what level of probation, if they're on any level of probation, if I would or not, or if they're just there on a first offense and they're entitled to have that record wiped clean and they have to come back and appear in front of the court. So not every student that goes through. But I'd say a majority of them, at some point, they will be back in front. And I'll see that I ordered it. And I'll ask them, well, how did that go? What do you think about it? Because I want the feedback. And I always get positive feedback.
Boy, that's exciting. You know, as I hear you talking about this, this just lets me know how fortunate we all are to be here in Rutherford County. I mean, not only is this program successful, but I see some of the programs that Judge Ash puts together for people who are contemplating divorces so that it doesn't hurt the children years down the road. We really are lucky, so lucky, to be in a caring community. And in just a moment, we're going to open up the phone lines right after we check on the traffic and weather. We'll open up the phone lines, and I know that you have questions. And we have people this morning who can give you answers. Maybe you are at wit's end and you don't know what to do in raising your children. You know that you want them to be successful in life, but you're afraid of maybe some mistakes that they are making or might make. We'll be right back. Our number is 893-1450. If you have a question, dial quickly. 893-1450.
If you have an iPhone or use an Android, we have an app for both. WGNS AM and FM is everywhere you need us to be, on air and on demand.
Ford of Murfreesboro strives to serve our community daily. Their sales staff is committed to finding you the perfect vehicle. To read customer testimonials, visit fordofmurfreesboro.com and click on About Us. Ford of Murfreesboro is on Broad Street at the Northfield intersection. Ford of Murfreesboro, open 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday to serve you.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro, and I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords, and we'll give you the best deal in town.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We are offering free exterior cleaning and time checks on all fine timepieces by our two watch technicians. Come in this month for your free cleaning and time check.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton. We don't have 8 great locations. There's just one Bell Jewelers. And just because we're not one of the big chains doesn't mean you can't get good values at Bell Jewelers.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad across from Toots.
If your oil is leaking and your brakes are squeaking, call 896-1407, Roberts Discount Auto Repair. Service you can trust. On Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Honest service, fair prices.
Good morning once again. We've got a lot of congestion, I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231, as folks continue to make their way into downtown Nashville. We've got I-24 West at Haywood Lane with a fender bender slowing things down quite a bit. Also, I-24 West at the I-440 West entrance ramp. That's the way into Midtown, causing some major backups through there. Save now, save big, 50% off auto glass. For auto glass repair, windshield replacement, window motors, regulators, and more, you can trust America's Auto Glass Specialist Glassmasters, 248-5570. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We have a slight chance for showers early today. Cloudy skies and gradual clearing. Highs will be in the low 80s with a north-northeast wind between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 66.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We still offer checking that comes with a free check card. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
My name's Norman Bates.
Overnight turns to UFOs, the unknown.
Coast to Coast AM on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
You'd be welcome to spend the night.
Everything but you. I break the yolks and make a smiley face. I kinda like it in my brand new place. Wipe the spots up of the mirror, don't leave my keys in the door. I never put wet towels on the floor anymore, cause trains last so long. Even after you're gone, I know that you love me, and so you will see.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450-893-1450. We're talking this morning about things that are happening in a positive way at the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center. No, Juvenile Services. I keep getting that wrong. Juvenile Services. Okay. Get that mindset. We're not younger there this morning. Juvenile Court Judge Donna Scott Davenport is with us this morning, and we're talking about Operation Integrity that works with parents and students. Parents and students. School Resource Officers Sergeant Patty Hillis, who teaches the parent component, is with us, along with Sergeant Irvin Turner, who oversees the student portion. They are here to answer your questions. And one question might be, when does this start? I mean, is this an ongoing thing, or how does it work?
We do the program once a month, starting from August all the way up through May, through the end of the school year. So once a month we'll have a class of, some of them are referred, and some of them, the parents have called into the resource officers to ask about the program and ask if they can get their child into the program.
Okay, so you can actually request. You're at wit's end, and you can say, help, I don't know what to do. I need some help. Is there a charge?
There's a $25 administration fee.
Okay, so that's probably affordable by most people. Are there certain requirements?
There is that they have to have a physical. The camp is quite physical at some point. Also, there has to be a notary public. Has to look over the paperwork and sign the paperwork. And there's also a, well, I said the physical.
Age.
The age limit, I'm sorry. The age limit there. So we start around 12 years of age up to 16.
Okay. And Judge Davenport, do you review these cases? Do they have to meet certain criteria of levels of problems?
No, usually the way that I order them is that I've got somebody either with my youth service officers or the SROs that are saying they may benefit from Operation Integrity. And we're at the point where that needs to be ordered versus volunteer. And that may be why I would order it, is that it would be something that would come up. And, you know, that's one of the many things that we have to offer our children. So that is when I might order that.
You know, as I'm hearing you talking about parents having the opportunity to come and say, I need some help, that has to be, they have reached probably one of the most frightening levels of being a parent. And that must be traumatic working with them at that point, because I guess they've almost given up, but not quite. They know that if they don't take it another step farther, their child could end up in jail or perhaps dead. And then what kind of comments are you getting from parents who make that decision? Tell us, because I have a feeling there are people listening right now who are at that point also, and they haven't started realizing, hey, I'm not the only one with this problem. Share with us some of the things that these parents are telling you.
Well, you know, in the morning when we start our program, I take the parents, I separate them from the children. The children go do their thing, and I take the parents. And they're actually there from about 6 o'clock in the morning when I have to drop the kids off till we're usually done by 11:30. So it takes almost five and a half hours to go through the program. A lot of times they're, like I said, once we start talking, they're distraught. You know, they even voice saying that they just didn't know what else to do. They're at their wit's end. You know, they've tried even medication, thinking that something was wrong. Just various things that I hear from the parents.
What are the students, the youngsters, their children, what are they thinking? What were they, I mean, if they see their parents distraught and everything, do they have a feeling of accomplishment? Hey, I'm the victor here? I mean, I'm wondering about that.
Well, a lot of times the kids come in and they really start to blame the parents for themselves, for them being there. But as we go through the day, and we, especially when we get to our team building portion of the program, they start to realize that I am here because of something that I have done.
So they realize that.
That's part of our program, trying to get them to understand that they're facing certain consequences because of their actions. And once we get them to understand that, then that's where you see things kind of turn around a little bit. Once they figure out what, you know, I can look at myself and say that I need to change this, and this will in turn help me in school, it'll help me with my family, and help me to become more successful.
I guess it's sort of like going through Alcoholics Anonymous or something. They have to, the ones with the problem, which are usually the children, or maybe it's a little bit of parents and children, they have to be willing to say, I'm going to do something about it. You can't take them and say, here's the program, you're going to be successful. And you're seeing that happening, Judge Davenport.
Absolutely. And most of the times they find, both the parent and the child, something down inside them that they didn't know they had, or they had it one time and they thought they'd lost it. And this helps them reach down deep and pull that back out both ways, the parent and the child, and say, I am worth, I do have worth, I can do this, my child is worthy, you know, I'm worthy as a parent, and they pull it all together. And you still have to come past that, she ordered me to do it, I don't want to do it, or the child, you know, is angry because we ordered it, or the parent is making them do it, and that's why it takes all day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes
I'm amazed you can do it in a day.
Well, and that's why it's a 12-hour day, to break those barriers and find what's down deep inside them. I think that's always been there. They just needed someone to help bring it back out.
You know, it's probably also that follow-up, the long-term working with the students on a regular basis, that makes it work. Because, I mean, you're talking about a life change. You guys are miracle workers. I have to hand it to you. But in a day, I mean, that you've really gone through some training yourself to be able to reach down and get these people to understand there's a better way.
Right, and the follow-up is a big part of it. I mean, the day of the camp is really intense, and what we're trying to do is just change the mindset of that child. But the follow-up plays a huge part of it, because they know that we're going to hold them accountable for the things that we've gone through that day, and we're going to be watching, we're going to be listening, and we're also going to make sure that they have goals set. And that's a big part of our follow-up, because once they go through the two follow-up days, when they come through the last one, they have to present us with goals, and they have to present goals to each SRO, and that SRO is going to help them accomplish those goals.
Let me ask you this, because oftentimes youngsters get in trouble because of the friends with whom they associate. Do you work on that to try to get them to find different people to be around them?
Well, that part is addressed during one portion of our program in a session that we call Whatever It Takes. And we're teaching them to step away from peer pressure. We're teaching them to step away from drugs. We're teaching them to not pay so much attention to what's going on in the world, but pay attention to themselves and start making their own decisions.
So they learn the importance of making the decisions and also learn that the consequence is theirs too.
Absolutely. And I have a really good group of drill sergeants that do a really good job with that. These drill sergeants have been around for a while. They've seen several things. So throughout the day, we share certain stories with those children to make them understand what consequences are and what kind of life they will lead if they don't start making better decisions.
Mm-hmm. So do they act like drill sergeants?
Absolutely. Most of our drill sergeants are military, ex-military guys, so they absolutely know what they're doing.
And so they're in your face, loud, and saying, listen, and whatever they might be saying. What do they say?
Well, I can't necessarily say all of that on the radio, but they do a great job of instilling a program. One of my drill sergeants is Anthony Gordon, who was an actual drill sergeant in the Army for quite a few years. So he takes a big portion of that and takes it upon himself to handle a lot of that.
You know, as you say drill sergeant, it suddenly opens up in my mind somebody who not only is in your face telling you this is what you're going to do, but they're getting you to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And is this the first time they've heard this?
Not exactly. They've heard it before. Some of them have just forgotten a little bit of how that works. And that's a big portion of the program. They have to understand that when they come in the door that morning, it's all about respect. And if you don't have it, we're going to make sure you have it before you leave. My drill sergeants do a great job of doing that. The kids do buy into it once they see how the program is going to work and once they realize what we're trying to teach them. And it's not all bad. So I don't want to sound like my drill sergeants are monsters. But
No, I didn't get that
bad,
at all.
But they do
I just
job
got a whole of, feeling,
sure.
a different feeling.
Right, but they do a great job of getting that across to the kids. And by the end of the day, the kids truly understand what we're trying to do. And a lot of them even think it's before they walk out the door that afternoon or that evening.
I was feeling at first that this was a, we'll hug you and tell you things are going to be better. And it's not that at all.
We're far from that.
Okay.
Well, at the end of the day, though, when they come back, they do hug their parents.
Absolutely.
Now, they go and tell their parents they're sorry.
Really?
For their actions.
I think
yes.
they start out, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Sergeant mm-hmm. Turner, is they start out with that hard shell, and you're not going to tell me what to do, and you can't, and mm-hmm. then, and they're tough. And then by the end of the day, they say that tough isn't so great. You know,
what about the parents? Do you work with them in the same way? Do you have drill sergeants for parents?
Yes, technically, yes.
Okay.
You know, sometimes...
I mean, sometimes it's that shock factor to make it work.
Well, and sometimes I just have to call them, you know, at their mistakes. And I hate to do that, but, you know, when they're wrong. And, you know, that's why they're there. They're there for help. And that's what I'm trying to give them. I'm trying to give them these tools to help them in their family, in their home, to make life a lot easier. And they have to understand that sometimes... the yelling and the screaming that they're doing at the kids, that's not going to work. That's not going to continue to work. It doesn't work. It's not working now. You got to stop.
A lot of these youth are probably on the way to getting into gangs and things. And I'm sure the parents are seeing that too. And many of them, are they on drugs? Or if you're on drugs, are you ineligible to be in the program? Or
is that another thing? Do you drug test?
Yes, ma'am.
There's a
mandatory drug test that day. We have a series of tasks to complete. I explain this to the kids when they come in the morning. And part of those tasks is completing that drug test. And we report that immediately to the parents if we have a kid that fails a drug test at that point.
And the reason for that is not to have them charged or anything. It's so we know maybe that's part of the behavior. Mm-hmm. While we're having the behavior, what kind of drug is it? There again, treatment for the court's important. Is that well? Then, and they also recommend, well, we need some alcohol and treatment education or treatment, whatever that you need for this issue, especially if they've already got the drugs in their system. And depending on the type of drug that they've got in their system, we want to assist the parents with treatment for that.
So, if you do find the presence of drugs, alcohol, whatever, you don't just say, well, I'm sorry, you're ineligible and pass them back into society.
No, sir, that's part of what we do. We've got to correct that behavior.
Does that open up a new area of service, or do they just move on with that day and you continue forward and treat it just like everybody else?
Well, we'll discuss it with the parents. As resource officers, we do have some programs for the parents to get involved with. Certainly youth services and Judge Davenport, they have some programs in place. But we will work with the parents on that to get them involved in some type of program to help the child out.
You hear so much about parents being role models, and I think they are. I mean, whether they want to be or not, and maybe sometimes they wish they weren't, but they are the role models. Judge Davenport, as you work with these youth, especially those who have drug problems, do you find that in many cases the parents have the same problem?
In a lot of the cases we do, but there's several that we don't. And the child is just been able to hide it from the parent. Because the parents are not in that arena and never have been, and they don't know the signs, and they have failed, and they feel terribly guilty of not being able to notice. But that's not their environment, hasn't ever been their environment. So we do find it both ways.
Sergeant Hillis, for parents who find themselves that they had no clue, and this could be the crux of the problem, what are they saying to you when they discover this? I mean, when you come in, you say, did you realize your child tested positive for drugs?
Well, usually what happens when the drill instructors come in and let the parents know that the child tested positive for whatever drug it was, and they did not suspect, they come back in and they're very upset. They're crying. And so I will pull them to the side and talk to them and say, look, you know, this could be part of the problem, the anger that you've been seeing from this child, the total difference in your child, this is what's going on.
Hmm. Now, are they using drugs, the ones that were in the news recently that were being sold in the convenience stores and what have you, is that what they're using, or are they using pretty hard drugs?
Most of the time for our number of kids and the kids we deal with, a lot of times it's marijuana, a lot of times it's the gateway drugs, as we call it. But we're finding more and more synthetic drugs, which at this particular point, there's not necessarily a kit that detects it. And the ones that do are very expensive, or only the hospitals have them. Mm-hmm. So we're finding a huge problem with that.
I guess the reason I'm asking this, I was reading an article that came in some publication, I've forgotten what it was, but about a 30-year-old woman who was on crack cocaine, and she died. But she had children, and she was on her deathbed. She was so afraid that her children would go her way. Crack cocaine kills people. I don't know. Can you get off of it? And do you find kids that are on crack cocaine?
I haven't dealt with very many kids that have been involved with crack cocaine, but the problem is when we have kids taking pills, we have some parents who may be taking some type of medication, pain medications. We find a lot of our youth like to get involved with pain medications because it's they have easy access to it. Like I said, the marijuana and other gateway drugs are very prevalent.
Okay. So drugs are a major factor, do you think, in the problem?
We do see a lot, and I do think our drug of preference is marijuana and alcohol. And about 3 years ago, we had a little surge with meth and our children, but we're not seeing that right now. I'm not seeing meth come across. I'm seeing some cocaine, but it's usually prescription, abuse of prescription drugs, and it's still the alcohol and the marijuana, and then the synthetics are popping up.
So even though those are problems, you can work with those. And
I think we can work with any drug. I okay. really do, especially that's if the parent brings them in soon enough for us to help. I think we can be successful in anything.
Wow. That, you know, for people listening right now, if you are having problems, that attitude that you just heard coming out of your speaker lets you know there are people who believe in you and believe in your children, and let you know that there is an opportunity. An opportunity if you just give it a try. Before we take a break here, what can they do to give it a try? What number? Is there a number you can call?
Sergeant Turner is going to give you the class date and that phone number.
Yes, sir. Our next class date will be August 25th, right before school starts. And well, actually at the beginning of the school. The number is 898-7925. That's directly to our coordinator, Sergeant Bobby Weeks. And you can also call the Sheriff Department at 898-7770.
Okay, any of those numbers. And if you missed the numbers, maybe you're on the way to work right now, call us back later on in the day and we'll pass them on to you here at the station. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to take our final look at the weather.
And I can always find my way when you are here.
Come in here and have a seat, please.
When you hear something you like, let us know.
Shut the door.
Tell Good Neighbor Talk when it's something you don't like.
We care deeply about how you feel. WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Maybe you need a new mattress. Well, you can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jamison mattresses. Listen, Perry Bell has the Jamison Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
We have a slight chance for showers early today. Cloudy skies and gradual clearing. Highs will be in the low 80s with a north-northeast wind between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 66.
Down home cooking right downtown in Murfreesboro at Jeff Sowell's Family Restaurant and Nana's Desserts on Hancock Street. Open daily from 11 to 6 and Sundays 11 to 5. Jeff's has 18 vegetables daily, 14 meats, including real hickory smoked barbecue.
Plus, all you can eat catfish every Tuesday.
Jeff Sowell's Family Restaurant and Nana's Desserts at 467 Hancock Street,
where MTSU students and seniors get a 10% discount.
Catch the Truman Show with Truman Jones, weekdays at 2 on WGNS AM and FM, talking about the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
Why do we live in this strange, great town? The paint is peeling and the sky turn brown. The bankers are whack because every Thursday night they just vomit on the ground.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. We're talking about our future. We're talking about our youth. We're talking about a special program, Operation Integrity. And visiting with us from the Rutherford County Juvenile Services, Judge Donna Scott Davenport. And from the SRO office, we're talking with Sergeant Irvin Turner. Sergeant Hillis had to leave for an appointment. Our number is 893-1450. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you need help, call us. We're not going to ask you who you are. Nobody's going to try to identify you because, you know, this is a very serious issue, and sometimes you just have to reach out, and help is available. Our number is 893-1450. Maybe you have a loved one who you feel would benefit from such a program. Maybe there are signs that you can tell they're not mixing with the right people, and you're afraid that something worse is going to happen in the future. You'd like to change that before it happens. You don't have to wait, do you, Judge Davenport, until the child is arrested? And their
absolutely
life is
not. Absolutely. And Sergeant Turner has the rest of the dates for the year because, you know, they do this once a month. Mm-hmm. And we want to give those dates and also remind all of our listeners that even if you have to wait, if you want to wait till school starts back, contact your SRO at your middle school or your high school, and they will help arrange you getting into the Operation Integrity. So he's going to give you the rest of those dates. Okay. Of course, it's a lot, but August is filling up, I believe, Sergeant.
Absolutely.
Because there's a limit of how many children that we can service each month. So let's have those other dates.
Yes, ma'am. After August 25th, the next date will be September the 15th, October the 20th, November the 10th, December the 8th, then we'll start up in January on January 12th, February 9th, March 9th, be April 13th, and May 11th will be the last camp.
Okay, and I will put all of those on our website so people can be reminded. You mentioned something about if you wanted to wait till school starts. I'm thinking, well, now they're wanting to go on a vacation. Is that what they're, and they take these kids who are destructive and who don't have respect, or why would they want to wait?
Well, I'm thinking that they may not want to make the phone call, and maybe it'd be easier for them to sit down and talk to the SRO and get a little more one-on-one if they wanted to do that. That any SRO, and I'm telling you, when I'm in court, and the SROs know these children. I don't know them as well, you know, especially the ones that have only appeared in front of me once or twice. And if I know and I say, well, you know what, I bet Sergeant Turner in your school will keep an eye on you, and he's there. And then, of course, they're never going to deny that. They'll give the parent numbers and how they can be in touch with them. They are such resource for our families in this county. And I don't want to use them up. But we do use them, and because they know these children, because they're dealing with them every day. And I'm thankful that I have them every day in court to tell me more of the whole story of what's going on in the family and the dynamics and the issues that the children are having.
Are the issues changing now versus when you first got into the courts?
Yeah, I've been on the bench 13 years. It was 13 in April, and I'm seeing younger children and them committing the worst crimes and then continuing. And the respect is just, we see no respect, 90% no respect.
And that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, the respect has always been an issue, but I think it's worse now than I've ever seen it.
Is there violence along with the lack of respect? I mean, are the youngsters just reaching out and hitting?
Absolutely, they're angry. And
angry.
Some of them have some reason to be angry, but we've got to teach them the appropriate way to display that anger. And they're hurting their parents. They're hurting their caregivers, if it be grandparents. I mean, we're putting them in the hospital. We're sending them with broken bones. It's serious. Our aggression, and would you agree with that, Sergeant? You've seen aggression worse than it's ever been?
Absolutely. And, you know, part of our program is when we have a kid, and normally we have a kind of a short biography of why that kid is there. And a lot of times in that biography, you will see if there are any anger management problems. So either myself or another one of my drill sergeants would often take that kid aside during that camp and work with that kid on some anger management problems or some issues, talk through the problems, try and find out why this child is angry, and see what we can do to help that child from that point. And a lot of times, and I think Judge Davenport touched on it earlier, you know, a lot of times it's just anger at their situations and where they are. And a lot of them don't think that they can complete anything or be successful in anything. So they have a negative mindset. And part of our program is trying to change those negative mindsets and let them know that they can accomplish something.
Wow. And that's what it's all about, changing these students so they can fit with society, but not just fit with society, but be successful. And be the students that the parents can be proud of. And the parents, too, can sort of be proud that they're parents.
Right. And the parent and the children be prouder of their parents as well.
That is what it is all about. Again, what is the phone number that people can call to say, I need some help?
The direct line to Sergeant Barbara Weeks is 898-7925. Or you can call the Rutherford County Sheriff Department at 898-7770.
Judge Davenport, thank you for all that you do, and I want to say a special thank you to SROs Sergeant Patty Hillis and Sergeant Irvin Turner. We're so fortunate to have people like all three of you who really care, and we appreciate that.
Thank you, Bart, for this format so we can educate our community.
Tomorrow at this time, another caring person, Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Crisman, will be with us. You have a good day.
I don't know why I say the things I say, but I say them.